Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Gary Dahl. Sam Rohrer is again away today. But it's been now just over 36 hours since the most horrific mass shooting in the history of the United States occurred in Las Vegas, Nevada. And still, there is no clearly defined motive for what caused Stephen Paddock to fill his Mandalay Bay hotel room with a literal arsenal of military-type weaponry and then use that arsenal to kill 59 innocent people and wound over 500. That's going to be the discussion on the majority of the program today. However, in this first segment, we want to talk about some phenomenally good news. And I think you're going to appreciate this greatly. This past Friday, an amazing movie opened nationwide called A Question of Faith. If you're a regular listener to Stand in the Gap Today, you know we have talked much about this film and had two of the film's key actors aboard. And A Question of Faith is a faith-based film that has defied many industry norms and has moved audiences all across the country, including members of Congress who were treated to a first ever screening in a congressional office building. And I know something about this because my son Nathan was vitally involved in facilitating the screening on Capitol Hill. And this film is, I believe, going to be one that's going to have an ongoing impact literally across the United States of America. And today, to bring us up to date on the movie's first weekend, is Angela White. She is a veteran producer, and she is the producer of this outstanding movie. And so, Angela, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Well, we are thrilled to have you aboard. I know your schedule is crazy busy, so I want to jump right into a couple of questions. We've had two of your phenomenal cast on the program over the last month to discuss this movie, and of course that was Kim Fields and Amber Nealon Thompson, and I want to say this, they were both amazing guests. But I want to ask you, what was it about this project that drew you to it to want to be a part of it?
I love the multi-layered story of how real issues, human issues, and then we added the word of God in them. Sometimes, Dave, you have to use everyday issues to draw in people. Sometimes people don't like just to be preached to directly. So to see these multicultural characters, one black, one white, one Hispanic, all dealing with issues, that they end up having their faith renewed in God at the end was inspiring for me.
It's certainly a delight to have you with us. This is Gary, Angela, and thank you once again for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. And as David said, we've talked about this on the program in recent days, and the movie has an incredibly strong message of salvation, forgiveness, and especially one of racial reconciliation that we all know is desperately needed here in the United States of America today. The film opened this past Friday, and I'm wondering if you could tell our audience what has been the response, as far as you know, across the nation.
Hi, Gary. Yes, response has been overwhelmingly one of hope, joy. People have said they want to be in their Bible more. People have learned how to forgive people they held on to grudges for 10 years. We have heard people say, I'm a pastor, but I need to be home more ministering to my family. I forgot about that. I've been ministering to everybody else, but I'm forgetting about home. And that's the first ministry, is at home for a lot of pastors. So we've heard everything from thank you for just even showing how we as humans can be to each other, how we should be to our fellow man, how we need all of us. God only sees our heart, and we have to be reminded of that. God sees our heart, and we need to see everybody's heart first and stop looking at the color of people's skin. People have loved that. The responses have been all over the country the same. All cultures have been the same. And that's what's beautiful about this film, Gary and Dave, that no matter who you are, you can identify with somebody on that screen and say, that's me, or I know somebody like that, and I can do better. I can be better. And that's what we've been hearing from people.
Angela, you are 100% correct, and I don't want to give away too much of the storyline because I want to encourage our listening audience to go out and see the film. Again, it opened this past Friday nationwide. Some 600 theaters are carrying the film, and what we would love to see happen is the film held over and additional theaters take up the film in the days ahead. Angela, we found out by talking to you prior to going on the air that A Question of Faith has received the highest grade that a film can possibly receive. Would you talk about that for just a second?
Yes, Dave. We just found out this past Saturday we received an A-plus cinema score. So for everybody out there that doesn't know what that means, that is an industry score that's given by an elite group of people. They only give 5 films a year, Dave, regardless of the genre. 5 films a year receive an A-plus cinema score. That means that's the highest score. That's people who are walking out the theater, and they are rating them, who are giving us a perfect score all around the country. So we are blessed to be now in this very elite group of receiving the top score that you can receive on a film from you, the public. The public has to give us that score.
Well, Angela, I want to say congratulations on that, because there are many producers out in the secular world who would love to have that. And
exactly.
So, I mean, that's tremendous. And so congratulations to you and to the entire cast. You know, in recent days, in recent years, it seems as though we've seen an increase in faith-based films being produced here in the United States of America particularly. And as one who has just been involved in producing such a film, why do you think faith-based films are so popular in America right now?
I think they're needed, Gary, right now. Even for me, when I made the decision to make one last May, I felt that people need to be inspired. People are hurting right now. People financially are hurting. People are hurting spiritually. People are hurting with just dealing with racism on either side. People feel hurt by something. And I think we need to learn how to unite. And the only other way I could see uniting is with the power of God. This is not a man solution at this point now. This has to be a supernatural situation where we have to have the power of God to come in, intervene, and fix what's going on in this country, in my opinion. We need some godly intervention.
Angela, the note you're sounding is one that we sound on this program on a regular basis, and you could not have said it any better. Friends, what you have just heard is the reality of what's happening in America. The problems we have, the answers to which are not going to be found in man's wisdom. They're going to be found in God's wisdom alone. And this film is a wonderful step. In fact, it's a huge step to show the American public what the answer is, and it's found in not just God, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Angela, I know there is a website people can go to if they want to discover more about the film. Would you mind giving that to our audience?
Absolutely. The website is www.aquestionoffaith.com. You can go there and find tickets under the ticket tab. You put in your zip code. All the theaters in your area will populate.
That's great.
It. Please go and support.
Thank you so much. If you've been listening to Angela White, she's the producer of this great movie called A Question of Faith, and we want you to go see it this weekend. You will be blessed richly by it and reap tremendous benefit by seeing it. And Angela, thank you so much for being on the program with us today.
Dave, thank you, Gary. Blessed for you for having me. Thank you.
Well, it's been our delight. And friends, when we come back, we're going to move into something that is not as positive as this. And that is what motivated the Las Vegas killer to do what he did just over 36 hours ago, forever changing the United States of America.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Again, this is Dave Kistler and Dr. Gary Dull. And in our last segment, if you were with us, you enjoyed the interview we did with Angela White. She is the producer of A Question of Faith. And again, I want to underscore this as much as I possibly can, having seen the film, knowing what our nation is going through right now, and especially what happened about 40 hours ago in Las Vegas. There could not be a better time for you to take your family to see this powerful film dealing with salvation, forgiveness, racial reconciliation, and how three families' lives intersect supernaturally to produce those precise three things that I just mentioned. So please look up the film and see where it's showing near you. Take your family to see it this weekend. I promise you, you will not regret having done so. Well, we're going to shift gears now for the rest of the program, and we're going to bring aboard a dear friend of mine. He is a 37-year veteran of law enforcement, having dealt with just about every possible aspect of law enforcement. His name is Bob Burgess. He has been on this program before. He is pastor now of New Testament Baptist Church in Ravenna, Ohio, but his law enforcement background makes him a wonderful guest to have to deal with some of what is still very lingering questions that we have with respect to what happened yesterday in Las Vegas. So, Bob, thank you so much for being on Stand in the Gap today.
Thank you, Brother Dave. Thank you. And Brother Gary, hello, and good to talk to you fellows again.
Well, we're delighted to have you aboard, Bob. I have been monitoring the news almost nonstop since early yesterday morning when my son actually called me and said, "Dad, are you aware of what's going on in Las Vegas?" Well, I hadn't turned on the television yet early in the morning. And he said, "Dad, you may want to turn the TV on and get up to speed." Well, sure enough, as I turned the television on and found out what was going on, I began to call friends of mine around the country and inquire about what they knew of the situation. And of course, we have been watching this nonstop since yesterday. Bob, at this point, we're about 40 hours removed from what is being called, and legitimately so, the most horrific mass shooting incident in U.S. history. But still, there is no clearly stated motive, or at least none that the police are willing to reveal. From your experience in law enforcement, is it unusual 40 hours away from an event like this still to have nothing that we know of as far as the motive on the part of Stephen Paddock for committing this horrific act?
It's not unusual, especially when he didn't take to social media to advertise this prior to. I would be careful to think or to lead anybody to believe that there may may not be some significant indicator that perhaps he left maybe in that room, in his home, in somewhere amongst his personal effects to be able to describe why he did what he did. That may exist. If they have found it, I'm sure they're not ready to share that yet.
Let me throw a question out to you, Bob. And by the way, it's a delight to have you with us. You brought up the idea of social media and how that he did not put anything out there before he did this or whatever the case may be. Do you think he's really the one that did it? They found his body, but do you think there might be something else behind it? Is that a possibility, sir?
Well, I'm sure, as with anything, there'll be many conspiracy theorists lurking out there in the midst of this. But at this point, I don't know that I would necessarily give much thought to that point yet, Brother Gary. You know, when I heard about this yesterday morning, as I was awakened early in the morning hours and heard this on the news, you know, I'd ask for prayer. I put it on our sign, as a matter of fact, at our church, that all the praying saints would pray for the families of those victims and all that are impacted by that. What a terrible thing that is. This is obviously a man who put the light of God out in his heart and turned to such great wickedness. I can tell you, fellows, that there's a lot of criminal psychological profiling that needs to take place here. I'm going to give you a moment to say anything you want to say before I expound on any of that.
Well, Bob, let me jump in, because that is a direction we do want to go on the program today. But before we go there, let me ask you this. There are three crime scenes now, for the most part. There's the Mandalay Bay Resort, the room. It's a two-bedroom suite, and there are now images out there that have been provided via a video from a man who stayed in that very room in the Mandalay Bay Resort for the same event a year ago, and he had taken video footage of his family enjoying a meal in that two-bedroom suite. It is quite palatial. I'm sure it's phenomenally expensive to rent that room or to pay for that room for one night, much less what we are hearing was multiple nights for Stephen Paddock. So you've got the Mandalay Bay Resort as a crime scene, the place from which the shooting took place. Then you've got the concert parking lot about 300 yards below. And then you have the home of the shooter himself, which we're now learning is about 90 miles away. Let me ask you this as a law enforcement professional. What are the authorities looking for in those three locations?
Well, I believe it would be accurate to say the first thing they have to do is work on a superficial level. In other words, what took place at Mandalay, that's on the superficial side. That's the known, if you will. They're going to have to work from there backwards. They're going to have to, first of all, construct a team. That's going to have to be very precise in their duties, not that they're going to overlap. In order to do a criminal psychological profile of this individual, this is not a whodunit crime. They have the answer to that, I certainly believe. But there's going to be at least three assessments that they're going to have to make. They have to make a scene profile. In other words, we know where the scene was at, but it provided him an opportunity. They have to answer the question, why? They're going to have to do a victimology profile. Is there something about that particular set of people that he had an agenda with or for or against? They're going to have to do an offender risk profile, which is going to look at him. What did he have to go through to risk exposing himself to accomplish this act? He's most likely, it sounds to me, like a guy who was left insulation, if you will, of family and friends, and he's gone into isolation. And they'll certainly find evidence of that as they investigate his lifestyle. They're going to have to do a flow chart of his daily affairs and life's activities, if you will, at his home, in the public, the people that he's spoken with right up until the time that he received this room at the Mandalay.
You know, that's good information that you're sharing with us, Bob. And, you know, another person who seemingly has or will play a part in this whole scenario is the woman who's been described as his roommate or girlfriend or whatever the case may be. And at the time of the crime, she was not in the country. And I've heard that she was in Australia and the Philippines, and even another nation or two has come up that I've heard in the recent time. My question is, why would authorities want to speak with her? In other words, what possible motive could she have, perhaps, for departing the country? Do you think that something like that is going to come out in interviewing her later on by the authorities?
Well, I believe that the one thing that they have to determine, and they may perhaps already know this, they have to determine, is this the norm for her? Is she a jet setter? Is she a traveler? Or is it just convenient that she's out of the country for this particular time and event? Then they're going to have to link that and put that together to discern that in their investigation.
Bob, you used the phrase earlier, and we have just about a minute and a half here before we're going to have to go to the bottom of the hour break, and we may not get all your answer in this segment, but that's okay. We'll pick it up after the break. But you talked about establishing a criminal profile. And by the way, you've used terminology here and talked about what they're going to be establishing that no one else has talked about on any of the news programs I've heard, so this is great information. When you talk, though, about a criminal profile, what are you talking about specifically?
Well, again, it's going to establish his agenda. If this was a whodunit crime, again, a scene profile, we're looking at a mass murder here. This is something that's corporate. This is not a serial killing. There's a difference between those. Ted Bundy, Wayne Gacy, they were serial killers. It was a personalized thing in their lives that they picked particular victims for a reason. But this is a mass murder, which is usually corporate. It's usually a statement against something corporate, something larger, something more than an individual or a person.
Do you have any idea, Bob, based on your years of experience and knowing what little you know that the media has told us with respect to this incident, do you have any idea that you could share with us very quickly that you think might come out of this? I mean, what could possibly be the motivation?
You know, it is early. There's not much out there for the mass killings. It makes me think of the Texas Tower incident with Charles Whitman back in 1966. This guy went through great lengths to take many weapons to the top of that Texas Tower at the university and began shooting innocent people. There was a precursor. There was pre-activity to that event, and that's what I'm looking to hear in this event. What pre-activities? Charles Whitman killed his mother and his wife before he did this. But I would look for something, some type of pre-activities involved with this guy. I don't think he just woke up yesterday that morning.
Well, friends, you're listening to Bob Burgess, 37-year veteran of law enforcement and a pastor today of a church in Ravenna, Ohio. And when we come back from the break, we're going to delve further into the mindset of Stephen Paddock and even talk about what Gary asked, because there is some stuff out there now that is stating they don't believe maybe he is the guy who actually committed the crime. What is all that about, and who is it that's actually saying that? All of that after this brief timeout on Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
When something as horrific as what happened yesterday occurs, obviously the question that immediately surfaces is why? And that why question can prompt all kinds of responses. Friends, I don't know any other way to say it than this. I've been conversing with a lot of people. Bob Burgess is one of them, who is our guest today. Ed Stevens, our guest yesterday. My own son-in-law has a law enforcement military background, and I've been conversing with these individuals and a whole lot more trying to answer this question, why would Stephen Paddock commit such a horrific act? I've heard the word bandied about a lot in the media yesterday, and that's the word snapped. He just snapped. Well, friends, what he did was not an individual snapping, because when you snap, you don't plan and premeditate the way he did to have the kind of weaponry up in that Mandalay Bay hotel room that he had there. That takes months of planning. So what's going on that would motivate this man to do this? Well, in the process of asking this question, some have said, well, maybe he didn't do it. And that's what Gary was alluding to in the early part of the last segment. Is it possible that he's not actually the perpetrator of the crime? Well, yesterday something happened that has come to our attention that is very, very intriguing. And we're not saying this is what happened, of course. But we're going to just let you listen to this so that you'll understand what's out there, because this does factor into the investigation, because the man whose voice you're about to hear has contacted the Las Vegas Police Department. He has filled them in on who he is and what he believes about this situation. So they are very much aware of what you are about to hear. I think the man's name is Rick. He called in to the Michael Savage show yesterday, identified himself as the neighbor of Stephen Paddock in the state of Nevada, about 90 miles away from Las Vegas, where Paddock and this gentleman lived. And he says there's no way Stephen Paddock would have done this. Now, I want you to listen to the clip, and we're going to come back and we're going to chat about this and get Bob Burgess's perspective on it. Gary, play the clip.
We have a caller on KBET Radio in Las Vegas who says he is a neighbor of the shooter. This man has not appeared on any other show in America. Is this true? Before I take him, call screener. We have a caller on the line from KBET Radio in Las Vegas who says he is a neighbor of the maniac who did the shooting. Rick on line 9, please go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, how are you today?
Are you really a neighbor of this maniac?
I was, yes, sir. And I'm no longer in Mesquite anymore. I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But I was his neighbor for about 7-8 months in Mesquite. And I can tell you 100% that this is not that kind of guy. I was there working and seen him probably every other day on my way home. He used to sit with his garage open and sit out there in his driveway with his lawn chair right at the edge of the garage and the driveway. And he would wave all the time when I was going by. Really nice guy. There's a little bar around the corner where they have poker vending machines where you sit at the bar, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You go down there all the time and sit there and drink a few beers and have a few drinks and play that little vending slot machine. With the video.
Rick, you're talking about a man who has just committed the greatest mass murder in American history, and you're making him sound like an ordinary guy who wasn't violent, didn't have any Nazi flags in the garage, didn't seem crazy to you. Are you sure it was him?
I'm 100% positive. I'm 100% positive. I know exactly who the guy is. I was in the Marine Corps, and I've talked to this guy personally. We drank beer together. Not just in passing, kind of sitting there playing games together. I had another guy work for me. His name was Steve. And we used to go to that same bar after work and have a few drinks and play video poker as well. And he would sit there, too, and we would just talk about nonsense stuff. And I told him that I was in the Marine Corps, that talked about guns and all kinds of stuff. He never even told me that he owned a gun.
Well, friends, we're going to break in right here. You're listening to a man named Rick who called in yesterday to the Michael Savage show, identified himself as the neighbor to Stephen Paddock, the man who is accused of being the shooter in Las Vegas that killed 59 people, injured well over 500. Of course, Stephen is now deceased. Bob, I want to go to you, and I know this is circumstantial evidence at the very best. But here's a guy who calls in. He is the kind of person police want to interview to establish a criminal profile of a person who commits a horrific act like this. And he's saying unequivocally, this is totally out of character with the man I lived next to, the man that I sat down at a bar and had drinks with, a man that I know quite well. This is totally inconsistent with what I know of him. Bob, what do you as a police officer do when you hear that kind of report?
Well, I believe that helps possibly fit a profile and that experts are going to look at. And let me preface it this way, Brother Dave, that if somebody snaps, if you take somebody that's close to you, your family, your neighborhood, they snap, it's an obvious event, yes? So with
well,
that obvious event.
It would appear so,
yes,
anyway, yeah.
Right, that's an obvious event. It's something that doesn't lend towards the giving of much time. It's not over a long period of time for prior calculation and design, such as an event like this. However, what leads me to say, I want to say to this caller, this man could very easily be a victim of a sociopath. You know, our serial killers and mass murderers in society often are sociopaths. There are people who hide this very, very well. Ted Bundy was a very nice guy. John Wayne Gacy was given the key to the city. He was a very nice guy. These are people who are sociopathic personalities. They can live in a neighborhood. They can have friends like you and I do. And these things can be very latent, if I might say, psychologically, as they plan them. So that actually fits into this man's profile. I'm not saying that the neighbor is a bad guy by thinking what he's thinking or coming to the defense of this man, but rather I'm saying this may be further proof that this man was just that, a sociopath, and was very good at hiding this and being be social, that he would go outside of his own area to do such a crime.
Now, Bob, certainly I am in no place to question what you're saying. Obviously, you've been in law enforcement for 38 years. The only thing I was as it relates to that, was a security guard at a Bible college 500 years ago. So I'm not questioning this at all. But the fact of the matter is, even his own brother basically said the same thing about Mr. Palak. So when you're putting together a profile, is it not true that these types of testimonies must come to play? And not only do they come to play, but come to play a credible element, component in trying to say, well, is this the guy that really did it? Why did he do it? I mean, you know, let me just put it this way or throw something else in here. I did a couple of interviews yesterday, and I'm doing an interview tonight on a San Francisco television station. And the point that I'm emphasizing is that this is the depravity of the human nature really coming out of whoever did the killing, in this case, Mr. Palak. But when you take into consideration these testimonies of a neighbor and of a brother, don't they really play a significant part in trying to understand this whole case scenario?
Well, they will at some point. But again, as I said, they may also lend to the credence of a sociopathic personality that has a very good style or way to deceive others as to what is really going on in their lives. And the police are going to work the facts. And facts are what they're going to have to look at. They're going to work it backwards from the Mandalay, and they're going to look into this man's personal. They're going to have to do a flow chart of this man's personal activity in his life with things regarding to the internet, his travel, his financial records, his daily affairs, his phone records, just every movement that he makes on a daily basis. I know he used to live in Florida. There was a purpose that he moved to Nevada. I heard the interview of the brother saying he wanted to come out there where he could gamble and do those things that he enjoyed to do. I understand that as well. But I also understand from the reported facts that in the Mandalay, the SWAT team was on the floor. I heard the radio transmissions. I heard them give the command three times as warranted, breach, breach, breach. I heard the explosion that they used to breach the door and enter the room. They found him there. I don't believe there was any other manner of escape from that room during the time that they were on the 31st and 32nd floor. Those are knowns that I have thus far, so I don't see the conspiracy theory that there was somebody else that did this from up there. It's my understanding that he had a surveillance camera set so that he could see the police coming as well.
Bob, let me ask you this. What do you take from what we know? And you've just described a significant portion of that 32nd floor room. But we also know this. Stephen Palak had no military background. He had no known military weapon training. And yet he had this kind of phenomenal arsenal in a hotel room. How do you get that kind of weaponry, number one? And then number two, how do you get it into a hotel room without anyone suspecting something or noticing something?
Sure.
Well, I tell you what, Bob, hold your thought. I hear the music in the background, and we're going to get the answer to that after the break, friends. And we want to get the full answer and not have it parceled up here. So we're talking with Bob Burgess, 37 years veteran of law enforcement. We're talking about the profile of Stephen Palak, or whoever was the one that perpetrated this horrific crime yesterday. We're going to talk more about this, and then we're going to come up with some solutions to this that will be helpful for the American people moving forward in a public setting like this. Don't miss any of it after this timeout. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Our guest today is Bob Burgess, veteran law enforcement officer, 37 years of experience, and a current pastor in Ravenna, Ohio. And I asked him a question as we exited the break. He did not have time to even begin answering, so we're going to let him do it now. Bob, my question is this. We have a man who has no background in military weaponry. He never served in the military, yet he gets access to military-style weaponry, gets all of it into a hotel room on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort in Las Vegas. How does a guy accomplish all of that by himself?
Well, I believe that he does it through much, much research, which obviously is going to give the police a nice trail to follow as they conduct this investigation. I believe that they're one day are going to have these answers, not all that far off in the near distant future. I want to tell you, though, that I've seen many of guys on death row in my law enforcement experiences that look like nice guys. This, again, when we see the Texas Tower incident, that man, Charles Whitman, killed his mother and his wife before he went there. And when he got on the grounds of that university, he actually smiled and talked to a lady, and she helped him get into an elevator that was on lockdown and helped him get up to the place that he needed to go on the top of that tower to commit such a dastardly act. A sociopath has the ability to fool many. Mm-hmm. That's very possible in this case. The police are going to investigate the facts, which are not going to change. They won't chase the emotions.
You know, that's an important thing, too, Bob, to make sure that when everything is said and done, that the conclusions are made based upon facts and not emotions. And I think that's important to get out there. But, you know, yesterday, ISIS, on their official communication arm, claimed that Stephen Paddock was one of their soldiers. And that was the word that they used, the phrase that they used. And as you know, over a year ago, ISIS called on lone wolves to target and to specifically target Las Vegas. And so the question that I have for you is are the authorities in Las Vegas, and though they thus far have said there's no connection to any kind of international terror, are they going to be following this chain of thinking? Are they going to be going down the road of the international terrorism path, do you think?
I believe that the investigators in this case, all the teams at the different locations and venues, are going to put together a list. And that list is going to include that, and their list is going to be elements that are placed on there that must be ruled out. They're not going to work on things to be ruled in. They're going to put together a big hodgepodge of a list of elements of criminal activity, interest, methods of operation that are going to have to be ruled out as they investigate.
Bob, let me shift gears here because we have just a little bit of time left. This is our solution segment, so I want to provide to our listening audience some comfort, some hope, if I can, with respect to attending events in the open air. They occur all the time, 4th of July, Christmas, New Year's. I mean, this event, if it was perpetrated by Stephen Paddock, at the very least, is a model for other terrorists to follow and other individuals with very sinister motivations to follow. So what would you say to our listening audience who's considering at some future point attending an event in a public setting and they're scared to do so? What should they do? How should they prepare to keep themselves and their family safe?
Well, let me say that by design, ISIS loves this stuff, because they've probably adopted this man because he has fulfilled their agenda, even if there's no connection. So that's the end of what I have to say about ISIS and this fellow. The investigation will prove that out. However, anytime we have people, whether it's a stadium, a venue, they are soft targets. You've heard me preach this message about churches many, many times. They are soft targets in the law enforcement's eyes because there's all of these folks in one place, under one roof, or in one event that are very susceptible to anything such as that. I fear, and you call it paranoia if you want, but I believe it's legitimate in this day and age. I fear when I hear of fire drills in high schools today, for I fear that people have called something in or a bomb threat just to get them outside in one area to set them up as targets. It's a shame that we have to think this way, but this is the America we live in today. We're told by the scriptures to be sober, to be vigilant, because we have an adversary, and we certainly do in this day and age, and Satan's emissaries are using many, many folk to prove that.
Bob, what about churches? You know, I just want to quickly ask you that question. You mentioned, you know, security measures and so forth, and sorry to step on you there, Dave, but what about churches? Shouldn't churches take a lesson from this quickly, Bob?
Well, I don't even think that we need to take lessons from this. We should have already taken lessons from the other churches that have already suffered at the hands of violence coming into their churches. But yes, if they haven't done that, they should.
Let me follow up on that and say this. If you do not have a security protocol for your church, you need one, and there's no one better equipped to help you with that than Bob Burgess. Bob, we can have people contact you through us. And friends, if you're interested in having Bob come to your church to do a security analysis of your church and how you can better protect yourselves, please contact us here at Stand in the Gap today. We can then provide to you the information necessary so you can reach Bob. He does this kind of training nationwide. He does it from a law enforcement perspective, but also now the perspective of being a pastor. He knows how to do this. He is great at it. Trust me, I have watched him in operation at his own church, and he is just the best at this kind of thing. So if you have an interest in that, let us know. Gary, let me go to you. And by the way, Bob, thank you for being on the program. Our program is drawing to an end. Gary, as a pastor and from a pastor's perspective, I'd love for you to do two things as we wrap up the program today. Provide a little bit of encouragement that we don't want to live in fear. We want to live in faith. At the same time, we want to be sensible and sane, protect ourselves and our families. And then once you've shared that, if you would, take us to the throne of grace in prayer.
I would be happy to, Dave. And as somebody said yesterday, we need to learn to live by faith and not by fear. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, I believe it is, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. And even this morning, Dave, at a prayer breakfast that I attended, somebody asked the question, should we go anywhere right now? Because we are all soft targets. Well, that's just exactly what the devil, whoever was behind this thing in Las Vegas, that's exactly what the devil wants us to do, because he's the one who likes to put unnecessary fear into our hearts. We need to trust the Lord, go forth standing in the power of his might, depending upon him to protect us, as Psalm 121 says, and then have the confidence that God will take care of us no matter where we are and no matter what we are doing, for our good and for His glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we realize that there are many people under the sound of our voices here this afternoon who truly are living in fear because of what took place out in Las Vegas and other places. I pray that your Spirit would work in their lives, particularly in the lives of believers, and give them that sense of security that they are indispensable in your will. And when you're finished with them, they'll take them home to be with you in heaven. Give them that security and that hope. And certainly, I also pray in light of this, that any who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior would come to the saving knowledge of Him so that they might have eternal hope in Jesus Christ, looking forward to heaven, a land without tears and time without end. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, friends, amen. You've been listening to Stand in the Gap today. Dave Kistler, Gary Dahl, and our special guest, Bob Burgess. Can I encourage you, don't walk in fear, walk in faith. And if you know Christ as Savior, you can certainly do that. And if you don't know Him, you can come to Him today. Call out to Him. Ask for His forgiveness and salvation. He'll do exactly what He promised He would do.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.